Good morning. It's great to be able to be back with everyone. Hope everyone is doing phenomenally well, even under, obviously, the continued challenging circumstances. But I hope everyone is finding a little bit of a calmer time during the summer. And again, I look forward to this time of the week. It's the respite for me in the middle of the week because it's an opportunity to study together with you. And I have personally been so enriched by our studying of Tehillim, and I hope you have as well, that each week I come away inspired and more engaged and more educated. And I find that when I say the Prakim of Tehillim that we study here together, it's not comparable. You can't draw a comparison to when you read something that you don't know what it's talking about to when you read something where you intimately know what it's talking about. And so I hope that this has helped you along with this quarantine and these chaotic times the same way it has helped me in my service to Hashem. And please God, we should continue to learn and we should continue to study and we should continue to grow. We are studying chapter 137 of Tehillim, Al Naharos Bavel. Now, obviously, this is very applicable to the 3 weeks, and that's why I chose it for this time. Talks about, according to Rashi, this is talking about the exile of Nebuchadnezzar, which is exactly the time period that you and I are commemorating, of course, in between Shavasar B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, which is a time period of the year called the Bein HaMitzarim, the time that we are supposed to designate for remembering the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and mourning the loss of what the Beis HaMikdash represented in our lives. But there's something very strange about this chapter, and I want to start the class a little bit differently than we normally do, which is not just jump right in to the Perek Tehillim. I want to study, actually from a halachic perspective first, of a little bit of background to this chapter of Tehillim. So first of all, it is codified in Shulchan Aruch very explicitly, where the Shulchan Aruch writes, "V'roy l'chol yirei shamayim, she'imetzar v'doeg ba'osa shah, v'lishboch tachanunim al churban beis hamikdash." There's something called Tikkun Chatzos, that the nighttime is an auspicious time, says the Shulchan Aruch, quoting the Rosh in Maseches Brachos, that it's an auspicious time for us to be mourning the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. This is, many Sfaradim have the custom, actually, to not wake up in the middle of the night, but actually to wake up in, to do it in the middle of the day. Not Chatzot at night, but Chatzot during the day, throughout the 3 weeks, to commemorate and mourn the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. This is right at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch. Open up the first siman in Shulchan Aruch, and this is what you will see, that it is one of the core religious values that we have, is that we have to continuously, again, there's no real limitation on this, it just says in the middle of the night, but every single night, you and I have to be waking up to mourn the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, not like the Moskowitz family last night, which was up all night, crying about other things. Thank God, babies in the house, they do that sometimes. But rather, I should have taken that as an opportunity to mourn the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, where do we get this notion of specifically at mealtime, that when it comes specifically to mealtime, that's when we should be mourning loss? That's based on the Zohar in Parshas Truma, where the Zohar says, and I'll read an English translation here, I'll spare you the Aramaic, but the Zohar says, whoever is enjoying his table and enjoying these foods should be sure to mention and express concern for the holiness of the land of Israel and for the Beis HaMikdash, which was destroyed. So whenever you and I sit down for a meal, says the Zohar, is a time that you and I should be lamenting and mourning the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. For this sadness that he expresses over his table during the happy and festive meal he's having there, you and I could be having a luxurious, delicious meal at our dining room table with wine and scotch and meat and potatoes, I don't know, whatever I eat, right? So when we do that, and we mourn the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem considers it. Kudsha brichu chashiv aleha, Hashem considers it, ki lubana beise. It's as if you built Hashem's Beis HaMikdash. Now this is not just a Zohar, but it's actually quoted by the Shlach HaKadosh. The Shlach HaKadosh writes, Al Kain, therefore, because of this Zohar, because of this notion that specifically at mealtime, you and I are supposed to remember the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Noagin Lomar Mizmor Al Naros Bavel, says the Shlach HaKadosh, that because of the Zohar, right before we do Birchat HaMazon, you and I are supposed to say our paragraph of Tehillim, chapter 137 of Tehillim, Al Naros Bavel, Kodem Birchas Hamazon. Every day before Birchas Hamazon, you wash, you have a sandwich, you say our chapter of Tehillim. Ubifrat ki ashulchan b'makom ha-mizbeach. Why? Because our tables mimic the Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash. That's why when we use the salt, so many people pour the salt directly on the challah. More correctly, in all likelihood, you're supposed to pour the salt on the table or on the challah tray and dip your challah into the salt. Why? Because our tables are like a Mizbeach. It's like the Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash. In the same way there was salt on the Mizbeach, so too we put salt on our tables. That's why we treat our tables with a certain level of respect. Again, explicit laws in Shulchan Aruch, because our tables mimic the Mizbeach. So says the Shla, based on the Zohar, that whenever you and I have a meal where we wash at, which would require Birchat HaMazon, every single time we precede it with chapter 137 of Tehillim, with the recitation of Al Naros Bavel. Then the Shla says, Ubi Shabbos, Ubi Yamim Tovim, Omri Mizmor Beshuva Hashem et Shivat Zion, right? Shir Malos, what we would colloquially refer to as Shir Malos. So this is very strange, right? Because what comes out of the Shla is that every time you and I wash, right? You're going to go, let's pick on Sam Abramovitz right now, right? Sam is going to have a delicious deli sandwich for lunch today, okay? And when Sam washes and then he prepares to say Birchat HaMazon for his deli sandwich today, says the Shla HaKadosh that Sam Abramowitz has to say Al Naros Bavel, chapter 137 of Tehillim. And the only time he does not say Al Naros Bavel is on Shabbos, is on Yantiv, is in a time when he doesn't say Tachanun, and then he says Shir HaMalos. This, by the way, is not just a Shla HaKadosh. This is codified Lahalacha in the Magen Avram, of Avram Gambiner. He writes, Kasav HaShla, it's written in the Shla, Shebechol Suda, that every single meal you have, Yomar Al Naros Bavel, you should say our chapter of Tehillim this morning of Al Naros Bavel. Ube Shabbos, Yomar Mizmor, Shir HaMalos, Beshuv HaShem et Shivat Zion. And when you can say Al Naros Bavel, because we're supposed to be happier, like on Shabbos, like on Yantif, like on Erev Rosh Chodesh, like on Erev Shabbos, then, okay, we go to the second one, and that's Shir HaMalos. Now, what's so strange about this, and I'm obviously using a long introduction, but what's so strange about this is if I were to take a poll with you here and say, when is the last time you said Al Naros Bavel before benching, right? I would imagine that my question would be received with lots of cricket sounds, right? If I'll pick on Sam, because I love Sam, right? If I were to ask Sam, when is the last time you said Al Naros Bavel, you recited chapter 137 of Tehillim, my guess is, and you're a very righteous Jew, and I love you, right? You would say, Moskowitz, I didn't even know I was supposed to. And I got news for you. Most people had no clue that you're supposed to, and I myself may not fully have been aware of this halacha before studying it. So how did 137 become the forgotten chapter? Right? Shir HaMalos is ubiquitous. You come to Shabbos, you come to Yantif, we all know you say Shir HaMalos. Does anyone follow the rest of it? Right? In other words, Shir HaMalos, it's very clear from the Shla and from the Magen Avram, Shir HaMalos is the plan B. Plan A is you're supposed to say Al Naros Bavel. When you can't say Al Naros Bavel, then we're stuck and we're forced to say Shir HaMalos. But really, the one you and I should be much more familiar with is Al Naros Bavel, and yet nobody is. Nobody says it. Nobody talks about it. I've said benching my entire life. I myself, I'm admitting publicly, have never recited Al Naros Bavel, with one exception. I'll get to that in a little bit. So why doesn't anyone say Al Naros Bavel anymore? Right? And again, I'm building this up because I want you to appreciate the chapter that we're about to study about. We're not just studying pie in the sky chapters. This is, according to the Magen Avraham, what you and I are supposed to be saying every time we bench. Now, I'm going to share with you a wild source. This is from the Be'er Moshe. The Be'er Moshe, the Debitzin Rav, Ramosha Stern, great 20th century Gadol, right? Survived Bergen-Belsen, Holocaust survivor, passed away in 1997. So he writes a tshuva. And if I didn't read the tshuva inside, you wouldn't have believed me. And I'm actually going to share my screen with you, because that's how amazing I think this is. And I want you to be able to follow along at least a little bit. Give me a second while I find it. Give me a second. Okay, here we go. This is gonna shock you. It's gonna shock you both for the content and for the way he writes it, which I found both to be absolutely phenomenal. He was written about what happens after Chatzos, whether you say Shir HaMaalos or Al Naros Bavel, right? Rosh Chodesh, Erev Rosh Chodesh after Chatzos. Now, you and I know Erev Rosh Chodesh after Chatzos for a very simple reason. When you go to the Kotel and you don't want to rip your shirt, so a lot of times people go before Shabbos or before Rosh Chodesh when you're not obligated to tear your shirt. That's a cop-out. I don't recommend it. Okay, I was once with Rav Schechter, and he specifically didn't go at those times. He wants to rip a shirt. He wants to feel the Chorban HaBayis, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. You and I try to get away from it. Anyways, he was asked, Erev Rosh Chodesh, right? This Thursday is Rosh Chodesh. This Wednesday, excuse me, is Rosh Chodesh. Tuesday afternoon, you sit down to have a meal. Do you say Al Naros Bavel or do you say Shir HaMaalos? So he gives the psak and then he says the following. And again, this blow your mind away. Vikan ani omer umodia barabim. He says, I'm going to make a public admission right now. Biyosi bachur tzair, when I was a very young boy, tamid amarti al naros bavel lifnei berchas hamazon. I always said al naros bavel in the days where it was appropriate, in other words, days where we said tachanun, I always said al naros bavel. And what was the response from my friends, right? In other words, my friends, when I grew up, they bullied me about the clothes that I wore, and they bullied me about the TV shows that I watched, right? Listen to what the Debrei Tzina Rav was picked on as a child about. That he used to say, Al Naros Bavel, V'chaveirim Eilu, and what if, I'm sorry, V'chaveirai Sachaku Mimeni. They laughed at me. My friends used to pick on me for what I did. V'chaveirim Eilu lo hayu meha mechad shim. These weren't the like modern ones. Like these, we're not talking about like why you guys who were making fun of me. Elamamish mehefech lehefech ve'inenu rotzel lefarish b'shem mefurash. Right, these were like stark charedim. These were from a yidden. Someone unmuted themselves. Give me a second. Right, these were very from Jews. He says, and yet, what do? They made fun of me for my practice of saying Al Naros Bavel. So what happens? Umimela chadalti milomar. So when you get picked on, when you get bullied about something, what do? You stop saying it, because no one wants to be the guy who gets picked on. V'cho avru shanim acher shanim. He said this happened year after year, where I stopped saying Al Naros Bavel. V'yachar kach lifnei shanim achedim al yidei maise. He says something happened years later. Hitchalti lomar od hapam Al Naros Bavel. And I started saying this chapter of Tehillim once again. Kodem Birchas HaMazon midei yom yom, every single day. Ve'ani omer omodiyam mirabim. He says, and I'm going to again make a public admission. Shemeaz hitchalti lahargish hisoriz gadol b'chol ramach everai v'shesagidai. When I said Al Naros Bavel, says the Debrei Tzina Rav, I used to start shaking my entire body. Right, Ramach Everai Veshesagidai is like your entire body. He says, my entire body started shaking when I started saying chapter 137. Vehagam Shanira Kagos Veyura. And even though I recognize that Lat looked very arrogant to the people watching me, Lo Ichpali, it didn't bother me. Yomar Halomed Masha Yomar. Let people say what they want to say. He's like, I'm not writing this to be arrogant. I'm not writing this to flex and to tell you how great I am. Right? He says, I'm saving my soul. But he says, because of what I lost out on up until this point, because my friends made fun of me, that's why I'm telling other people, to inspire other people to also start saying chapter 137 of Tehillim. He says, and even if by saying this, your friends are going to make fun of you, don't worry about it because you're doing the right thing. That's an amazing source. That's like jackpot history, psychology, tshuva. I guess that makes me a rabbinic nerd, but when I hear that stuff, I get like excited, right? Because what's the Debrei Tzina Rav saying? He's saying my entire life, I never, right? I used to say Al Naros Babel, but nobody said it, and everyone was making fun of me for saying it. So I stopped saying it. I was very self-conscious until I eventually realized that I don't care what everyone thinks about me. I'm going to say it anyways. And he says, I started saying it and I'm shaking as I'm saying it. Why? Because of the power of the words. Because of the power of the words. That's an amazing tshuva. So with that as our background, I want to explore, what is it about this chapter? What is it about this chapter that made the Debrecen Rav shake? Why is it that we should be reading it? And perhaps, and this will be my suggestion, is even if all year round you're not going to be able to recite Al Naros Bavel every time you have your deli sandwich, Sam Abramowitz, maybe, just maybe, for the 3 weeks, as we're commemorating the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, one thing we can each add on is that before benching on Tachanun days, in other words, not Shabbos and not Yantif and not Rosh Chodesh, but on, except for those days, if you and I sit down to wash, we should recite Al Naros Bavel as a form of remembering the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So that was all a nice background to the chapter that we're going to study. Let's study this chapter a little bit. Again, chapter 137. You can find it in Tehillim. Find it in your bencher. You can find it in a sitter. Why don't we say it? I don't know why we don't say it. It's a good question. I'm going to share with you one source later on that maybe gives a little bit of an inkling. But no one could really figure out why this became such a misunderstood chapter. I'll share with you. This is from Rav Yuval Yudshurla, who's a Rav in Eretz Yisrael now, a religious Zionist rabbi. And he was asked the following, Lama lo machbidim hayom al amiros al naros bavel? He says, why isn't anyone machbid? Why isn't anyone careful about saying al naros bavel anymore? He says the following, Ma'amadam ha'hilchati shel minhagim taloi bihitka blusam. He says, minhag works in as much as the minhag is accepted. Right? There are lots of minhagim. Some become mainstream halacha, and some fall by the wayside. So, for example, right, kitnios is a minhag. That's one that's stuck. Sorry, everyone, you're out of luck. Right? But says Rav Shurlau, minhag zeh lo hiskabel. He says, for whatever reason, this minhag was never accepted. V'al kein hu gam einu mechayev. And therefore, because it was never accepted as a minhag, you're not chayev in it. V'al kein yoser v'yoser einu noagim bo. And as generations go on, we're simply not knowing to keep this practice, and therefore it kind of fell by the wayside. Einenu yodea mipnei ma lo hiskabel. He says, if you ask me why it was never accepted, I have no idea. Nearly ki adavar novea me'avoda shu miyua liyom chol, bo'ein livnei adam magama la'arich berchas amazon. He says, in all likelihood, it's a practical consideration, right? If you say benching with kavana, that's a big if, that's like a if with a capital I and a capital F, bold underline, right? If you're able to say benching, which by the way, parenthetically, is the only deoraisa, biblical blessing that you will say during the day, which is ironic. We spend time on Shemona Esrei, we spend time on Birchas HaShachar, the brachas we say in the morning, all derabanan. They're all rabbinic. The only biblical blessing you say is Birchas HaMazon, and yet, you and I both know, if we're honest with ourselves, it's really hard to say it with kavana. It's really hard, it's long. And if you properly say it, you're going to be sitting there for a long period of time. So it says Rav Shurlau, in all likelihood, the reason why we stopped saying Al Naros Bavel is because to add on to something that's already long is now cumbersome. And so we cut out Al Naros Bavel to shorten benching. Again, I find these hard because whenever we talk about shortening davening, right? Today was a Thursday morning. Tachanun was very long. Hey, I don't say, you know what? Thursday morning, Monday morning, davening's long enough. Let's cut out Torah reading. Let's cut out Tachanun. We don't say that. But at least says Rav Shurlau, he admits it. He says, I don't know why this stopped being a custom, but at some point, it was no longer accepted as a normative custom, and therefore, we're not obligated in it. It's a good question. The truth is, if you look at the sources, we should be obligated in it. It's an explicit Magen Avram. It's an explicit Shulchan Aruch, our obligation to commemorate the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, with that very long introduction, let's learn the Perek a little bit. So at least now we understand what the Perek is about. will understand the words that we're saying. Now, again, different approaches teaching Tehillim. I could share with you a cornucopia of opinions. I'm going to share with you now. I'm going to read it pretty much through the lens of the Malbim, which I think has a very interesting suggestion, line of reasoning, line of understanding of this chapter. And I think it's the one that'll speak most clearly to all of us. So I'm going to read it through the eyes of the Malbim. Says the Malbim the following, and I'll pull up my screen for those of you who don't have it, so that you may follow along. Now I just have to find it again. Excuse me, sorry. That's not what I want. That's not what I want. Just give me 1 second. Here we go. Okay. So I'll share with you my screen again, and that way you can all follow along. And I'm going to have the Malbim for you as well. Says the Perek Tehillim, Al Naros Bavel Sham Yashavnu Gam Bachinu Bezachreinu Etzion. So off the bat, you understand very clearly why this is talking about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, the Radak, Rashi, many of the classic commentaries point out that this is Kishiranu Lagola, as we were going down to the Gullus. Vishalu Nebuchadnezzar Shiashirulo. And Nebuchadnezzar, the wicked Babylonian king, asked us to sing to him. So Al Naros Bavel, we're sitting on the rivers of Bavel. We're about to enter into Bavel. Sham Yashavnu, there we stop. Gam Bachinu, we start crying. Bizachrenu Etzion, when we remember Tzion. Says the Malbim a little bit differently, that this isn't as we're going into exile, but this is actually in the time of Koresh. Again, Koresh is the Persian king who destroys Bavel and allows the Jewish people to come back to the land of Israel. So it's 70 years after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Malbim, Shaya Minag B'mei Kedem, L'shorer Shirim B'sipor Shevach Haaretz V'Amedina Asher Heim Ba. Right? The same way my children in Hillel Day School start off the day with the Pledge of Allegiance, and we have songs that sing of our allegiance to the United States of America. So back then also, they used to have songs that sung the praise of whatever host country they were in. Right? That's the song. Al Naros Bavel, Sham Yashavnu, Gam Bachinu. The song that they're being asked to sing is a song about Bavel. They're being asked to sing the Babylonian national anthem. Kemo Shehayinu Ragilim Lashir Shirim B'Shevach Yerushalayim. The same way we used to sing songs of praise about Yerushalayim, now we're asked to be singing songs about how great Bavel is. And listen to what the songs that we're being asked to sing. Right? Al Naros Bavel. Where am I? I'm in the Malbim. Interesting. He has a different formulation here than I have. Interesting. Okay, I'm going to read you the version I have. But the version I have here is as follows. Okay? He says here, Mashe Bachinu B'Bavel, V'his Avalnu Al Tzion. That which we're crying in Bavel, and we're mourning the loss of Tzion, Lo Haya Bavor She'avanu HaTovos HaGashmios, Ve'aosher Ve'akinyanim. It's not because we're mourning the physical loss. It's not because we're mourning that we lost our big homes and we lost our cars. That's not what we're mourning, he says. Mibnei, rather, gam bachinu bizachrenu et Tzion. We're crying about losing Tzion, says the Malbim, Mibnei shezacharnu kedushas Tzion. In other words, we have all of the amenities in Bavel that we had in Yerushalayim. But what we lack now is the Kedusha. What we're mourning is the Kedusha. And that's how the Malbim is going to read this entire chapter, is lamenting the fact that even in Bavel, when we had it pretty good, and we're going to have big homes in Bavel also, we know that from the Nevi'im as well, right? Nonetheless, our heart aches because we're missing something. Keep that in mind over the next 2.5 weeks. As we live in America, in, thank God, affluence, in religious freedom, right? To remember, though, that something is missing. Bizachrenu etzion. And even though we have sovereignty over Israel, and we're able, in the normal circumstances, to jump on a flight and 14 hours later be in Israel, something is missing. The Beis HaMikdash, God's home in this world, is missing. So Al Naros Bavel, we're getting to the rivers of Bavel. Sham Yashavnu Gam Bachinu, and there we sit and we start crying. Bizachrenu Etzion, because we miss Kedushat Tzion. Shesham Haya Beis HaMikdash, says the Malbim, right? ala osha haruchani. We're not lamenting the physical wealth that we have lost, but rather the spiritual wealth that we are now missing out on. Al aravim besocha talinu kinoroseinu, right? The aravim. We know that word from Sukkis, right? Arve nachal, the willows. So we get to Bavel and we see the trees that are synonymous with Bavel, and there it hits us, says the Malbim. Hagam shahayalanu bebavel kol atanugim haravim vanimim laguf. Even though in Bavel they have beautiful scenery, and they have fields and yards and every imaginable form of material necessity that you might want. Bechol zeh zeh ba'atzmo talinu kinoroseinu, says the Malbim, v'lo ratzinu lismach betova. We didn't want to enjoy this goodness. V'zeh ba'atzmo hayalanu la'avel. This alone is why we were mourning. Because even though we had all of the affluence and all of the materialistic goods, we recognized the entire time that the true beauty, right? The ir Hashem chareva, that Hashem's city is destroyed. So al aravim besocha, says the Malbim, as we get to the willows of Bavel, we realize that there's no turning back right now, and that's when it hits us like a ton of bricks, that you're no longer in Kansas anymore. You're no longer in Yerushalayim anymore. Kisham she'ilunu shoveinu divrei shir v'soleilenu simcha. What happens there? Our captors ask us to sing songs to them. Right again, says the Malbim, what songs are we singing? Not songs about Yerushalayim, but songs about your new homeland. Right? They wanted to indoctrinate us. It's almost like they're thumbing their nose at us. Kisham she'ilunu shoveinu. Our captors are asking us, sing us a song. Right? V'tolalenu simcha shir lanu mishir tzion. Those same songs that you used to sing about Yerushalayim, again, we're talking about the Levim, same songs you used to sing in the Beis HaMikdash, now I want you to sing that about Bavel. I want you to sing that about Babylonia. And again, there's so many relevant, applicable applications of this, these words about assimilation, about seeing America as a homeland, about seeing our dualism, right? All these ideas are kind of conjured up here, where we come to Bavel and they say, ignore your allegiance to Yerushalayim and to Tzion. Now you identify as a Babylonian. Now it's time to be singing songs of allegiance to your new homeland. And you could see how that caused enormous pain and enormous agmas nefesh to the Jews. Right? Says the Malbim, ki ata bavel hilachem eretz achuz aschem kimo Yerushalayim. Now Bavel is the new Yerushalayim. It is your new homeland. Stop singing about Yerushalayim. Start singing about Bavel. And in response to that, what do we say? Eich nashir et shir Adonai al admas nechar. How can I sing the songs of Hashem when I am on foreign soil, when I'm not in my homeland the way that I'm supposed to be? Says the Malbim, what are we talking about here? Hagam shenuchal lashir lachem shirei hatzlacha gashmit she'ayinu sharim b'tzion. We can sing military songs. We can sing songs of military victory, and I can pledge allegiance to my homeland, to the land that I'm now in now. However, aval shir Hashem, right now as we say, eich nashir et shir Hashem, how can I sing the shir Hashem, the song of Hashem? Says the Malbim, I can sing the songs of military victory about Bavel, but shir Hashem, shir HaKodesh, shehar yusharim b'tzion. But you want me to sing the songs of Tzion? You want me to sing songs of Kedusha? Al Shechinas Hashem Asher Ba? You want me to sing about God's providence? That I can't do, Alan Mas Nechar. Eich Nashir Osa, says the Malbim on Nas Nechar. How can I sing that? How can I sing that, Alan Mas Nechar, on foreign soil? In other words, it's a recognition, says the Malbim, that even though in the diaspora you and I could have every material need we need ever needed or wanted, and we could have the homes and the cars and the technology, we could have everything. Nonetheless, there's a pit in our stomach. There's a deep recognition that something is missing. That an element of Kedusha, a connection to the Almighty is incomplete. We are not, if we're a battery level, we're not at 100% capacity. We as Jews are operating at 60, 70% capacity so long as we are not in our homeland and God does not have a home to reside in. That's what this chapter is about. And therefore, it says, Pasuk 5, arguably one of the most famous psukim in all of Tehillim, if not Tanakh, Im eshkachech Yerushalayim tishkach yemini. We say, if I forget Yerushalayim, tishkach yemini. So again, it's as if I forgot my right hand. You would never forget your right hand. You'll never forget Yerushalayim. Tidbak l'shoni l'cheki im lo eskereni. Right, again, let my tongue get stuck to the top of my mouth. I'll lose the words almost. If I don't put Yerushalayim front and center, says the Malbim, what's this talking about? Even when I do rejoice over materialistic simcha, joyousness, happiness, my pain over Yerushalayim will supersede any joy that I have while I'm in Galus. I'll call simcha tehafeich la'otzev al yedei zichron chorbana. Any joy I have is going to be overshadowed by the feeling of mourning and loss that the world is not the way it should be, and that the world is incomplete, and that God does not reside in this world the way that it was designed to be, in a Beis HaMikdash, centrally located in Yerushalayim, Aliyah LaRegel, the whole nine yards. So long as that's not there, you and I should feel incomplete. As a nation, we are incomplete. And despite the fact, again, the Malbim comes back to this idea over and over again. He says, yes, in Bavel, you have everything materialistic possible. And yet something is missing. And it's that Kedusha, it's that connection to something, holiness. Yerushalayim is ole al zeh. It's more important than all of this. And therefore, we turn to Hashem. And we say in three very troubling psukim, Zechor Adonai Livnei Edom Eis Yom Yerushalayim, Hashem, remember what the enemies, the Edomites, again, classically, the enemies did to us. Eis Yom Yerushalayim. Yom Yerushalayim, says the Mefarshim, is the day that they destroyed Yerushalayim. What do they say? Aru, Aru Ad Yesobanos, destroy it to its very foundation. Like, that you can destroy a building and then you can like uproot the essence of the building. You can take out the foundation of the building, which means that makes it that much harder to rebuild it. So that's what the enemy said to us. Says the Malbim, Rotzolomer, Imani zocher tamides Yerushalayim mizabel aleha, kol shekein sheata Hashem yesh lecha. We say to Hashem, Zechor Adonai, Hashem, we want you to remember. Says the Malbim, we look to Hashem, we say, Hashem, if we remember Yerushalayim, then you have to remember Yerushalayim as well. If we do our part during the 3 weeks, throughout the year, to remember that the world is not complete so long as Yerushalayim is not built the way that it's supposed to. And by the way, when I say that, I love going to Yerushalayim, but it's not the way it's supposed to be. Right? I love that there's a mall right outside the old city. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Right? And I love that you can go to the Kotel. That's not enough. It's not enough. They used to say about, I forgot the Rav, but he couldn't go to the Kotel. And the Ramosha Sternbach quotes this in a tshuva, that he couldn't go to the Kotel because seeing Yerushalayim b'churbana, seeing Yerushalayim in its incomplete state, caused him so much pain he didn't think it could handle it. Right? That's what you and I are supposed to be feeling. That's why we don't run away from tearing a garment when we go to the Kotel. We run towards tearing a garment because we want to feel that loss. And so we say to Hashem, if we are willing to feel that loss, Zechor Adonai, then we want you to remember it as well. Bas Bavel Hashduda Ashrei Sheyishalim Lecha. Right? Babylon Hashduda, which is not a flattering word. Okay? Here it uses the word Metzio Seo and says Gazel. In other words, you thieves. Here it says predators. Right? We want you to get paid back for what you did to us. The pain and suffering that you caused us, Hashem should repay you tenfold. Says the Malbim, what are we talking about here? We're talking about that when Koresh destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, destroyed Bavel. Right? Don't forget, Bavel destroys the Beis Hamikdash 70 years later. This enormous empire is brought to his knees by a new empire. So we say, Bavel, you got what you deserved. You destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, now you are seeing destruction. Ashrei sheyoches v'nifes es olalaich ala sela, a pasuk that is really hard to understand, right? Ashrei, praiseworthy, sheyoches v'nifes es olalaich el hasela, that takes your children and that throws them against the rocks. I don't have a great suggestion for how to understand that, other than to say it's a continuation of the previous pasuk where we say to Hashem, that which the Babylonians did to us, we wish upon them. Again, I agree and I acknowledge, very challenging pasuk theologically. What is the upshot of this chapter? So it's very clear that the upshot of the chapter is mourning the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. It's more than mourning the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, as the Malbim points out, that it's about a recognition of the contrast between what Yerushalayim represented and what our existence in exile looks like and represents as well. And what essentially this chapter presents us with is that split screen, that despite the fact that we're in Bavel, and despite the fact that we have physical needs taken care of, and despite the fact that we have the big homes and the nice cars and the affluence and the materialism, nonetheless, if you go back to the scene of Yerushalayim, something is missing. That connection to holiness, that recognition of God's presence in the world, our ability to connect to God. Don't forget, what was Yerushalayim? What was the Beis HaMikdash? So when you went to Yerushalayim, and when you went to the Beis HaMikdash, you didn't just go to a building. You went to a place where God's hand was palpable. Right? The Gemara tells, the Mishnah tells us, that there were 10 overt miracles that happened in the Beis HaMikdash every single day. Which means that every time I went to the Beis HaMikdash, I literally saw an overt manifestation of God's presence in this world. That's amazing, right? Think about it in terms of our analogy of the battery. Anytime your battery dies in your cell phone, what do? You go and plug it in, and it recharges itself. What do we Jews have to recharge ourselves? So it used to be that when I needed that spiritual recharging, I used to go to the Beis HaMikdash, I would see these 10 miracles happen every single day, and I would remember God's hand in this world. Absent of that, can you imagine how painful that was for the generation that was so used to those miracles and all of a sudden loses them altogether? Loses, right? It's like, you know, when I go to bed at night, if my charger's not where it's supposed to be, I'm like, where's my charger? And I'm running around the house, right? When your cell phone gets down to like below the 20% and it gives you the option of going on low power mode or not, and you're in like, you would think the world is about to come to an end unless I find my charger. That's what the Jews felt. The Jews who were sent into exile were looking for their charger. They said, we no longer have Yerushalayim. We no longer have that connection to Kedusha. How are we going to recharge our spiritual batteries? Yes, we have all of the physical needs that we want here in Bavel. But something is missing. There's an ache in my heart that recognizes that the world as it's supposed to be is incomplete. And so that's Al Naros Bavel. That's what this chapter represents. Im Eshkachech Yerushalayim, one of the points I want to make to you is that Im Eshkachech Yerushalayim, that famous pasuk, can really only be understood in the context of the rest of the chapter of Tehillim. Yes, we're saying, if I forget Yerushalayim, Tishkach Yimini, take my right hand. But that can only be understood in the lead up to that. Eich Nashir et Shir Hashem al Anmas Nechar. We're now on foreign soil. We're in exile. We're in the diaspora. Eich Nashir et Shir Hashem. Yes, there's so much of us that feels an allegiance and a gratitude to America and the kindness that they've shown the Jews over the last 200 some odd years. Right? But Eich Nashir et Shir Hashem al Anmas Nechar. But there's like a Yiddish part of us. There's a part deep down inside of us that says, my Judaism is not complete here. No matter how many kolalim, and no matter how many shuls, and no matter how many bate midrashot, and no matter how much I can practice my Judaism here in America, eich nashir et shir Hashem al mas nechar. There's something missing. There's something missing in my existence here in the diaspora, in exile, that can only be completed. Not necessarily just by making Aliyah, although that's a very good first step, but until Hashem restores himself in his home to the land of Israel, when everything will be as it should be. And so that's Al Naros Bavel. It's a beautiful chapter. It's a very sad chapter. It's a very jarring chapter, certainly for those of us living in the diaspora. But I come back to our original question, right? Why don't we say Al Naros Bavel anymore? According to the Magen Avraham, this is something we're supposed to say every time we bench. And the reason why we're supposed to say it every time before we bench is because we're supposed to remember the Beis HaMikdash. If you think about the Gemara in Baba Basra, which tells us about what happened in the aftermath of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, so there were a group of rabbis that came along and they swore off meat and wine forever. They said, we're so much in pain over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, we can no longer have meat, no longer have wine anymore. And the rabbi said, why are you doing that? They said, well, because every time we drink wine, we're going to remember the yayin, the wine that was brought in the Beis HaMikdash, yayin, right? And every time we eat the meat, we're going to be in pain because we're going to remember the korbanos that were brought in the Beis HaMikdash. So the rabbi said, if that's the case, how can you eat flour? Because we had a korban mincha, which was brought a flour. You have to swear off flour as well. And what about water? Because we know that on Sukkot we commemorate the water, right? The water that was poured on the side of the Beis HaMikdash on Sukkot. So you can have to swear off water also. And we could tell you everything. By the end of this, you're going to have nothing else to eat or drink. So it is unreasonable to swear off wine and to swear off meat and to swear off flour and to swear off. So we have to find other ways to commemorate the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. But in theory, what's clear from that Gemara is that every time you and I sit down for a meal and we eat flour and we drink meat, eat meat and drink wine, we're supposed to remember that, right? Meat wasn't supposed to be a barbecue on Moskowitz's grill. Meat was supposed to be the korban and the Beis HaMikdash, and it bothers me, it pains me. So it's brought down lalacha that every time we have a meal, we're supposed to say Al Naros Bavel, to remember that what I'm doing now is not complete, that it's not the way that it should be, that even though I have this delicious steak on my grill, Eich Nashir Atshir Hashem, there's a piece of my spirituality that is missing. So the upshot is that despite the fact that halachically you and I are supposed to be saying this every time, realistically, as Rav Shurlau pointed out, it stopped becoming the minug. For whatever reason is, we no longer say it every time we bench. But here's my suggestion. We have 2.5 weeks left of the 3 weeks, right? The period of the year designated to mourning loss of the Beis HaMikdash. Perhaps it would be a nice minug for all of us to take on ourselves that for the next 2.5 weeks until Tisha B'Av, to say Al Naros Bavel before we bench. Again, not on Shabbos, not on Yontif, not on Rosh Chodesh, but when we sit down today and have our sandwich, or we wash tomorrow, to say Al Naros Bavel, to add in a little bit of a recognition of the mourning over the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. The recognition that even though we sit in America with enormous affluence, and our physical material needs taken care of from here up to the wazoo, still, there's an element of Eich Nashir at Shir Hashem, the Shir Hashem, the song of Hashem. How can we truly sing that? Al Admas Nechar, when you and I are on foreign land. So I want to wish everyone a beautiful Shabbos, meaningful Shabbos, an inspirational one. Ultimately, this chapter should be null and void as we celebrate, please God, soon, the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, the complete return of the Jewish people to our ancestral homeland.